Welcome to Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church on this beautiful, sunny Sunday morning. It is officially getting too hot to robe, even though it is air conditioned in here. So, summer is just a time to let a little loose, be a little more casual. So, if y'all don't mind, if I don't robe for the summer, I'll still robe if there's something super special happening. Otherwise, I really appreciate being in plain clothes. The only announcement that I have for today is that don't forget that the dedication of Tim Rogers Field is on Tuesday at 5 p.m. Meet out at the ball field. Just show our support for the community. This is part of our property. It's part of our mission to open that up and let the community use it. So I think it would be really great if a lot of people were able to come out and really show Shaler how much we care about them. Are there any other announcements that I missed? I know there is a deacons meeting after worship today. Okay. With that, why don't we place our cell phones in their most prayerful and meditative settings and gather together, proclaiming our readiness to worship God with our call to worship. Not one sparrow will fall to the ground apart from their creator. God tells us we are of more value than many sparrows. God knows us and loves us. Even the hairs on our heads are all counted. We praise you, O God. Grateful are we for your love and care. That should be the only kerfuffle that happens today. We got it out of the way right away. So please rise as you're able and join in our opening hymn, Bless All Who Trust in God. Trusting in divine mercy, we confess our faults before God and one another by saying, You send us, God, for the Great Commission, but we hedge and hesitate. Forgive our fear and our excuses. We are witnesses of your grace and glory, but allow others to silence our praise. We imprison ourselves with doubt and shame and fail to shine your light for all to see. Forgive our fears, free our testimony, help us to be your faithful disciples. Amen. Through Christ's death and resurrection, we are a new creation, ready to sing God's glory and testify to God's grace. In the name of Jesus Christ, we are forgiven and freed. Friends, let us now profess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, from whence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Siblings, let us greet one another with signs of peace. Please be seated for, are we all singing it?
Yes, we're all singing it.
Can we still be seated? Are you okay with that?
Sure.
Esteemed music director? Okay. Join together in our congregational anthem, His Eye is on the Sparrows.
Thank you.
Let us now lift up our prayers of concern and joy for the world, the church, and one another. I did just find out right as service was starting that Ginny had to go to the hospital. Her daughter Amy is being transported over to the hospital like right now, if she's not there already. So do please keep Amy and Ginny in your prayers. God of summer, this world is yours, and we live according to your abundance. Wherever we wander during these June days, road trips to the beach, family camping trips, visiting friends and relatives, watch over our travels. May we reach our destination safely and make our journeys with wonder at the blessings bestowed upon us by your amazing grace. As we kneel in the dirt of our gardens, pulling the unwanted weeds, pruning the untamed overgrowth, may our harvest be plentiful and the smell of soil, air, and sun spark joy. You give us enough to share, Holy God. Remind us of those who don't have enough and our ability to make a difference in their lives. The heat and humidity can be oppressive, God. Perfect weather for those with access to a swimming pool. So we pray for those without access or excess. We pray for people without cool places of respite and refuge. We pray for those whose lives are threatened by the heat. We pray for the poor and impoverished of this country, as well as around the world. May we find ways to shelter and nurture all of your children, Holy God. Hear our thanks and praise for the blessings of this summer. Hear also our prayers for those who are struggling, especially the people of warring countries, Afghanistan, Central African Republic, Ukraine, Russia, Ethiopia, Libya, Somalia, South Sudan, and Syria. Those who are affected by natural disasters, tornadoes in Texas and Mississippi, extreme heat in the southern United States, continuing wildfires in Canada, flooding in Cuba, Ecuador, Haiti, and Argentina. Those who groan with grief, the families affected by the migrant boat sinking in the Mediterranean Sea. Those who are isolated and alone. Those who are sick and their caregivers. We especially pray for Cody, Lynn Love's son, who just underwent an emergency appendectomy and is still experiencing a lot of pain. And we also rise up Amy, Ginny's daughter. We pray for those who are overwhelmed and exhausted, and those for whatever reason cannot enjoy the blessings of summer. In your mercy, beloved God, hear the prayers of all of your people. As we now, as the body of Christ, pray as Christ taught us, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Please rise in body or spirit for our hymn of praise. Love the Lord your God. be seated. We offer our gifts to you as well as our lives, loving God, so that they might find their way to those who need your grace, your hope, your joy, and your peace in their lives. Take our hearts, our hands, our gifts, Holy God. Mold us, shape us, send us, so that we might be your body in the world you so love. Amen.
Good morning. The scripture today is from Matthew 10, 24 to 39. The student is not above the teacher, or a servant above his master. It is enough for students to be like their teachers and servants like their masters. If the head of the house has been called Beelzebub, how much more the members of his household? Do not be afraid of them, for there is nothing concealed that will not be disclosed, or hidden that will not be made known. What I tell you in the dark, speak in the daylight. What is whispered in your ear, proclaim from the roofs. Do not be afraid of those who killed the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground outside your Father's care. And even the very hairs of your head are numbered. So don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. Whoever acknowledges me before, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me before others, I will disown before my Father in heaven. Do not suppose that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword, for I have come to turn a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies will be the members of his own household. Anyone who loves their father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves their son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever does not take up their cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds their life will lose it, and whoever loses their life for my sake will find it. This is a reading of God's word.
Please pray with me. Oh God, you have the power to make a desert a place of renewal and a cross a sign of redemption. Send your Holy Spirit so that we can hear you and entrust ourselves completely to you for the sake of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. The gospel this week is hard. For one thing, there's a lot going on. There are several themes that are happening, one right after the other. So being a disciple doesn't mean your life is going to be easy. In fact, it'll actually be quite difficult, especially for the first disciples. I don't know if anyone has ever told any of you that, you know, if you become a Christian, your life is going to be so much easier. In some respects, in this time and place, life actually can be easier when you identify as a Christian. But if you're truly following Christ, some of the things that are asked of us they're just really hard to do, especially consistently. We all know of the ridicule and harassment and torture that Jesus endured, and we're under his tutelage. So, yeah, being a disciple isn't going to be all sunshine and daisies. However, Jesus goes on to say that even though it'll be difficult, we don't need to be afraid of being disciples. Which seems kind of easy for Jesus to say. But his point is that you don't need to be afraid because God knows you and loves you. Those little sparrows that are, you know, worth a few pennies, God thinks that they're worth millions, trillions. So how much more are you worth to God? You, who God knows so intimately that each hair on your head is numbered and each individual cell in your body is recognized. People may discount you, even harm you, but God loves you and will care for you. And you know what? Those are the things that I like to preach about. I like those uplifting and encouraging parts of our scriptures and faith, and I wholeheartedly believe with every fiber in my being that in Christ, God is reconciling the whole world to God's self. And we, all of us here, not just me, all of us here are ministers of that message. And then Jesus goes on to say some things that are really hard for me to accept. Things that honestly seem really un-Christ-like to me. Things like, he didn't come to bring peace, but a sword. That he's going to set us against one another and destroy families. Jesus said this. The one who tells us to love our enemies, the one who said the world will know his followers because of our love for God and neighbor. The same Bible that tells us to love strangers as much as ourselves, our spouse, our children, our parents, is saying that Jesus came to bring violence and division. I think we do know by now that Jesus doesn't speak to us or the disciples in this real clear-cut, straightforward manner. Surely there's a deeper point that he's making. So, what else could be going on here? The most simple and the most obvious answer that I can just put right out there and that I can see is that this isn't an actual invitation to family dysfunction and disunity and conflict, but it's more of a reflection of the actual situation that's happening in Matthew's church at the time that it was being written. And many people in the first century and beyond literally had to choose between their family and their faith. I still think there are some broader implications, though. I see people read these passages like this, because there are several other passages that talk about disunity and loving God more than your family. But I see people reading passages like this and using it to justify cutting ties with their family today. I know so many stories of estrangement, family estrangement, because of differences in faith. And it's heartbreaking for everyone. I have a few friends who have been disowned by their religious parents because they are lesbian, gay, bisexual, or trans. Some of them even endured very traumatic and abusive conversion therapy because they so desperately wanted to please their family and continue to be a part of it. Shockingly, no, not shockingly at all, it didn't work. So they were tossed to the curb because their lifestyle goes against their family's religious conscience. Other friends have, rightfully, in my opinion, distanced themselves from parents or siblings that have weaponized their religion as a means to gain control and power and further abuse them. I do also know a lot of parents whose adult children no longer talk to them, but I have to admit I'm not as intimately familiar with those, so I don't feel like I can talk about them all that much. But you know what? It doesn't matter. Why should we be concerned, right? Jesus didn't come to bring peace, but a sword. Jesus came to turn a man against his father, a daughter against his mother, a daughter-in-law against his mother-in-law, so on. And those family estrangements shouldn't bother us too much, right? Well, I won't bore you with all of the Greek grammar and syntax here, but there is a little ambiguity in the original Greek about who actually has the sword. I can clearly see here in an interpretation that understands Jesus' way of being in the world, like Jesus' existence, where Jesus lives and acts through love and compassion, that makes other people bring out their swords, proverbial or otherwise. We can't really be surprised that activities with the intent of radical transformation of the social order, you know, spreading the gospel message of justice and compassion, we shouldn't be too surprised that that leads to conflict. I mean, I imagine that if Jesus was walking around among us today, that we'd be seeing social media posts and hearing conversations, people asking things like, well, you know, if this Jesus guy, if he's so connected to God, like, why does he get in so much trouble everywhere he goes? And we might recall that it wasn't Jesus' opponents who had strange and unsettling ideas. It was Jesus himself who was controversial. At the same time, though, we do well to remember that giving offense isn't a sure sign of faithfulness. True discipleship and discernment of God's kingdom, it takes seeking and questioning, wondering, you know, really pondering and reading the word and questioning whether our minds and actions are truly honoring Jesus or if we're just connecting to society's preferences. The gospel shakes up our values, rearranges all of our priorities, reorients our goals. And the message that Jesus preached can and does divide homes and families, even churches. The United Methodist Church is going through it right now. And that is the cost of discipleship sometimes. But Jesus isn't telling us to cut ties with or hate our families. There's a little bit of hyperbole that Jesus is using here to illustrate the steep costs involved in following him to make sure that we know what we're getting ourselves into. We are to exhibit deep affection and care for our earthly families. But we are to love them just a little bit less than we do God. Jesus ranks above our very closest human relationships and even life itself. What Jesus requires is a discerning obedience that has its eyes wide open as we accept responsibility for the order of the world and engage in transforming it the way that Jesus does. And it's in that way that individuals and families and all of society will thrive when the gospel's good news is heard and embraced. Thanks be to God. Amen. Please rise in body or spirit for our closing hymn, Lord, You Give the Great Commission. Before we go back out into the world, let me offer a blessing. As we leave this house of worship, may the grace, hope, peace, and love of God, our Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer, be with us all, now and always. Amen.